The book of Psalms, chapter number 22. I like this chapter, and there's a lot in this that is amazing to me, and we'll get into that as we go into the message, if the Lord will allow. I'm not exactly sure what God would have me do with this morning, but I was awake about 3:30 this morning, and God was really put this scripture on my heart. So we're just going to try our best to follow His leadership and give you what the Lord has given me. The book of Psalms, chapter number 22. When you have found your place, if you're able, I'd invite you to stand as we read the Word of God. Now, I'm going to read as quickly as I can, but I'm probably going to try to read the entire chapter. I'll move through it as quickly as I can. You just bear with me, all right? Psalms, chapter number 22, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and roaring lions. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. But thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones that they look and stare upon me. They parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, my strength. Haste to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither has he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. And they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto the people, and shall be born that he hath done this. Let's pray. My Father, as we bow again this morning, I want to thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to pray again. Thank you, Father, for blessing us and allowing us to be able to be in your house. Now, Father, as I bow, Lord, I still feel very uncertain exactly how that you desire this to go this morning. But God, I pray that you would give me that discernment. And God, that ability to follow your will. And oh God, would you help me this morning to say what needs to be said. And God, would you help me to leave alone the things that need to be left alone? And help me, God, give to your people what they need to hear this morning. Touch every heart, touch every life that's here. And oh God, I believe with all my heart there's a purpose, there's a reason, God, for this scripture this morning. And God, I pray that you'd help me to fulfill my part. Oh God, as small as it is, but Father, that you might use me to touch hearts. Have your precious way, Lord, in all that's said and done. And help us, God, to bow these unworthy heads again and give you glory for what you do. And all of these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I appreciate you standing this morning. I know that was a lengthy portion of Scripture, but I just felt led to read the entirety of it. I'm probably not going to preach on all of it, but I just felt like I was supposed to read all of it. But as we read this morning, certainly we know that this is, again, a psalm or a song that was written. Now, if you go through the book of Psalms, David was not the only one that wrote some of these psalms. Some of these psalms were written by Moses. There's songs that was put all the way through here that God has in his divine nature put together exactly the way that he wanted it done. But this particular psalm that we read this morning was written by David. And here as we read this psalm, we find that he begins in verse number 1. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, we know that David was a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that the Bible tells us specifically that David was a man after God's own heart. I know we understand this morning, as Brother Jim mentioned to us about David this morning, that David was not a perfect man, neither was Solomon. And we know that there was times that David had gone against the will of God. We know that he was responsible for the deaths of a lot of the priests in one portion of the Scripture because he simply lied to them. And we know that David was not a perfect man. But he was a man that God had chosen to be king of all Israel because there was something about him that God loved. There was something about him that God desired to use. And David was a faithful man unto the Lord. You remember when he had committed the great sin of adultery with Bathsheba. And we find that the precious old man of God came in. And he began to tell him the story of how that the rich and wealthy man who had great herds and flocks had taken a lamb from one that only had one little lamb. It's all he had. But he had some guests come in, and he went and took that lamb from that man that only had one and slew it and fed it to his guest. And we know that that David was angry, and he was furious because of how in the story this man was treated. And he commanded that the rich man be brought forward. And there we find that the old man of God pointed a finger in David's face and said, "Thou art the man." He had taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And we find that as you read that, you'll find the true nature of David immediately after that, because David was king. And he could have gone into some kind of rage of anger, and he could have commanded the old man of God be put to death. But you find that when he said that there was conviction in the heart of David, and he humbled himself, and we find there that he began to realize what he had done, and he began at that moment in confession unto God, and he asked forgiveness. We find that he humbled himself even though he was king. So in that we can see the nature of David, and we know that because of that sin, we know that there was a curse cast upon him by God. He said, "You'll not die." He said, "But the sword will never leave your door." And we know that in the life of David, there was one torment seemingly right after the other. David had a lot of trouble, not only with the enemy, but with his own family. There was a lot of things that happened in the days of David. So as we read this, we find here more than likely when David was pinning this down, it was after one of these tragedies, one of these trials, one of these problems had taken place. And David said there in verse number 1, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me. Now, as we read through this psalm, we find that he talks about a lot of his sufferings. He talks about a lot of the problems that he did encounter and endure. And we know that there was many places he complained about what was going on. And then he had praised the Lord. And then he had complained. And then he had praised the Lord. He was up and down very much like you and I are. But as we read this psalm, there was something taking place in the life of David. There was a trial that had come along in the life of David that drove him to this point, that he felt like God had completely forsaken him, that God had left him alone. Now, as we look at this scripture, I want you to take very special notice of just a few things. As we look at this morning, we find that David is praying, and he's written this psalm. And in many instances, they wouldn't just quote the psalm, but they would sing that psalm. And here we find that David has gone through some great trial and felt like he's been abandoned. But in the divine mercies of God, we find that God has brought David to a place in his life that he sees some things that are to come. Brother Jim read to us this morning about the lineage of Christ. And we know that in the lineage of Christ, if you go to the book, I believe it was Matthew, in chapter 1, as Matthew gives us the lineage, he made sure that we knew that Jesus was a direct descendant of David. He made sure that you and I know that. And that is very important because that gives Jesus the right to the throne as an heir of the king. And one of these days he'll take that throne. We've not seen that day yet, but one day he will. But here we find that David, through some great trial, some great heartbreak in his life, as he is crying unto God, God begins through David to unveil to me and you some things that are getting ready to happen in the distant future. You've got to remember, this is hundreds of years before Christ. But I want to notice just a few things. As we look at this, as God is touching the heart of David, David's heart's broken as he's writing this psalm. He makes that statement in verse number 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, I'm not going to ask you to turn, and I'm not going to ask you to flip with me, but I'm going to be going back and forth between the book of Psalms chapter 22 and the New Testament, mainly in the book of Matthew and mainly in the book of John. And I'm going to give you some scripture this morning that brings this greatly. It brings it to life, at least in my mind. Because as we look at this, we find here that he made the statement. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, if you were to take your Bible this morning and were to go over to the book of Matthew, chapter number 27, and read verse number 46, it would read like this. At about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We find that Jesus in Matthew chapter 27 is hanging on the cross. And here we find that Jesus has come to that place that he feels completely abandoned. There is nothing left here for him. He has even given his own mother to his beloved disciple John. He told her, he said, woman, behold thy son. And he said, behold thy mother. He has broken all ties with everything on this earth. And here we find that he cries with a loud voice, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God has allowed David, hundreds of years before Christ was even born in this flesh. Yes, Jesus did exist at this time. Yes, he did. But he has not been born of Mary. But we find here that God has allowed David to see into the future some things that are going to take place, the salvation of God that is to come. He's letting him see just a few simple things here. Now, there's one thing that I do notice here between David and Christ. Both of them made that same statement. In Psalms 22 and verse 1, David says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then in the book of Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46, Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, understand this. Both of these men, both David and Christ, have spent their life in following after God. The Bible said that David, I told you this a while ago, that David was a man after God's own heart. So in the depths of David's soul, he was longing for fellowship with God. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. As we talked about a minute ago, he gave unto God with all of his heart. And David was a friend of God. And you'll find many times in David's life there was absolutely no doubt that God had intervened in his life and gave him a great victory. And one that comes to mind, all of us probably thought of it at the same time. All of us remember when David stepped on a battlefield against a great man by the name of Goliath. And we know that God gave David a great victory on that battlefield that morning. And it was not David, but it was God that fought the battle, and it was God that gave the victory. It was he that slew Goliath. We know David throwed the stone, but by the mercies and the divine intervention of God, it hit Goliath exactly where it was supposed to and took him down. God gave him a victory. And many places you'll find where God has intervened and fellowshipped with David down through his life. And now all of a sudden David feels like he's abandoned, he's been left alone. Turmoil on every hand. Seemingly David is, he's in a place where you and I get to every once in a while. Sometimes in our life, when it seems like everything's a closing in and there's problems on every hand and it seems like the struggles get more and more real, there's times in our life that we feel like we've been left alone. But there was a desire in David's heart to feel the presence of God. There was a desire in his heart. Just like you and I know there's times that we struggle through problems. And I know that there's times that there's burdens upon us that it feels like we cannot bear. And I know in those moments and in those times it feels like we're alone. And the one thing that we desire more than anything is just to get a breath from heaven. If we could just feel his presence, if we could just feel his touch, if we could just get a word from glory, it would help us and we'd feel so much better and we'd feel that the struggle that we're dealing with is all worthwhile. But there's times that those things don't come. There's times we have to continue on by faith, believing and knowing that God is real. And believing in our heart that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Believing with everything in us that he's going to take care of us come what may. Yeah, there's going to be problems, but he'll always be there. And there are times that we can feel him. And I praise God for that. Just like the other Tuesday night, we felt his presence. And on Wednesday night, we felt his presence. But it's not always that way. And so in those times we have to just understand that he is there and we have to go by faith. But the greatest desire in David's heart was to just feel the presence of God. It felt like he was gone. Jesus desired to feel the presence of God. You've got to understand, in the life of Christ, this is the very first time and the very only time that you'll ever find that there was a separation between God the Son and God the Father. There's never been a separation. They are all three one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. There had never been a separation among the three until now. And Jesus is bearing the sin of all humanity. He has my sin and your sin borne upon His shoulders. And there we find that sin has brought a separation between God the Father and God the Son. And for the very first time in His existence, He feels like He has been abandoned of God the Father. And He cries out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? But this is not the only instance that we read through this and we see where Christ is pictured in this Scripture. You got to understand, God is giving David, even though this is a hardship, even though this is a burden, even though this is heartbreaking to David, God is letting him see of the salvation that is to come. He don't understand it. He don't fully understand it, but he's seen it. Now, let's notice here. I'm going to jump over here. Let's just drop down just a little bit. The Bible tells us down here in verse number 7, it said, "And they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let Him deliver him, seeing He delighteth in him." You'll remember the account of Christ hanging on the cross, where people would come by as He was hanging on that cross. The Bible said they'd wag their head. And here it said it'd shoot out the lip. It's kind of similar to us sticking out our tongue. They'd come through in a mocking gesture, and they'd mock Christ as He was hanging there. David's feeling like they're mocking him because of this problem that's occurred, and David's feeling like his own kingdom is turning against him. And here Jesus, as He's hanging on the cross, as it's pictured here, it talks about they'd come by, and you'll remember that it was, as He was hanging on that cross, they were those that were on the ground saying, He saved others, but Himself He cannot save. We know that the thief that was hanging on the cross beside Him said, "If Thou be the Christ, save Thyself and us." They were questioning His deity. They were questioning His birthright. But yet He was dying for our sin. Therefore, He would not give to the flesh and do probably what the flesh would desire to do and show them who He was. But He hung there as they came by and mocked Him. But let's drop on down now. Now look with me here. It says in verse number 14, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted into the midst of my bowels." Now here's David feeling like he has been completely torn apart, disassembled, if you will. His heart's not only broken, but it said it felt like it had melted like wax. Now here's something I want you to get a hold of. As David is writing this psalm, this is hundreds of years before the practice of crucifixion had even come into play. There has been no crucifixion. There's never been one in David's time. That didn't come along until the Roman government was established. But here he's talking and he describes it perfectly. He said, "All my bones are out of joint." If you go and study the effects of crucifixion upon the human body, you'll find that when that body is suspended by only the hands and the feet, it puts so much pressure upon that body that the body itself will begin to slump down. I mean, the pain from the nails in the hands themselves is tremendous, and through the feet. But
you're suspended by that. I mean, just the pain of that nail going through the head is unbearable. But the entire weight of your body is suspended on those hands and those nails that they drove into that cross. And after a while, you try to hold yourself up. But after a while, you get to where you can't. And that body will begin to slump down. And when it begins to slump down, it will begin to pull joints out of place. It'll pull bones out of socket. And it'll cause the body to begin to basically to crumble. And it will cause it to get to a place that and the crucifixion itself, the main cause of death through the crucifixion is suffocation. Do you realize that? Because that body, as those bones begin to come out of joint, you no longer have control of the body, and it will slump down to the point that it'll close off the ability to breathe. It'll put pressure on the lungs and upon the internal organs and cause them to shut down. And you can no longer breathe. That's why they'd come through and break the legs of those that was crucified. After so long, they, especially here, because this is a religious high day, and nobody is supposed to be hanging on a cross on this day. So they came through, and they break the legs of the two that was crucified with Christ. Jesus is already gone. He's done giving up the ghost. But they break their legs because as they hung there, they'd hang there for a while, and then they'd get just enough strength, and they'd push with their feet and raise up enough just to get another breath, and then they'd slump back down. They'd break the legs so that they no longer could lift their body up to get another breath, and they'd be sure to die quickly. But here David, hundreds of years before Christ was crucified, hundreds of years before anyone was crucified, he describes it. He said, I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted into the midst of my bowels. Notice here in verse 15, he said, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. David feels like he's dying. He's so weighted down with these burdens, he feels like he's dying. But there, if you read verse 15, he's talking about his tongue and how it cleaveth to his jaws. If you were to take your Bible now, and again, you don't have to turn there, but in the book of John, chapter number 19 and verse number 28, the Bible says, after this, Jesus, knowing all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. His tongue is so swollen, and his mouth is so dry. David said, it feels like my tongue is sticking to the inside of my jaws. Have you ever been that thirsty? I don't think I've been quite that thirsty, but I have been to a point sometimes it felt like your tongue would just stick to your jaws or to the roof of your mouth. He's describing what Jesus was feeling. Christ is giving David insight into what he's going to face. He's letting him see the things that's going to take place in the future. He's unveiling to him that he is going to suffer and die. And God has allowed David to go through this that he might know what is to come. Now look here. Look down here. Verse 16, he says, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Again, in the book of John chapter 19, we read where he says again, another scripture saith, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. They pierced his hands and his feet. David goes on here into verse number 17. He says, I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. What David here is saying, he said, I can count my bones. He said, I can tell all my bones. Christ hanging on that cross as his body is going through the great torture and pain of the crucifixion. And those bones are coming out of socket and out of joint. And as he would look down and his body becoming dehydrated and it's withering down, he can actually see the bones of his own body. Like looking at a living skeleton. Suffering as no man has ever suffered. Isn't it amazing that hundreds of years before this took place, David describes it exactly? He said here in verse 18, they part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. In the book of John chapter 19, verse 25, it says, and then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was woven from the top throughout. And in verse 24 it said, they said therefore among themselves, let us not rent it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. What Scripture? Psalms 22. Psalms 22. He said, they took my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Isn't that amazing? God's letting David see his own salvation that will come to pass. Can I say this morning? As we continue to read about the crucifixion, I wasn't planning on saying this, but God just put this in my heart. As you continue to read about the crucifixion, you find there that when Jesus gave up the ghost, the Bible said that he descended into the heart of the earth and led captivity captive. Now, according to the Scriptures, in my interpretation of what the Scriptures are representing, we know in Luke 16, when it talks about the rich man when he died, it said that he was carried into Abraham's bosom, which at that time, evidently, was in the heart of the earth directly adjacent to hell. Because it said that that rich man, when he died, was buried, and he lifted his eyes, being in torments. But he was able to look and see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and that he was being comforted. Now those that are in what they called Abraham's bosom were the Old Testament saints that died looking for the Christ to come. They were the ones that died and by faith were believing that God would provide a Savior, that their sins might be forgiven, and that they might have access into the kingdom of God. It was a place that God had made for them to keep their soul until Christ had died and the door into heaven was opened. So when Christ died and descended into the heart of the earth and led captivity captive, he descended and he took those that had died. And as I've said before, I believe this, if I'm wrong, you forgive me, but I believe he preached unto them Christ. They accepted who he was. They believed in his divinity. They accepted the blood sacrifice. And he led them out of that place of paradise or Abraham's bosom and took them into glory. When he descended into the heart of the earth and stood before that crowd, there was Moses, there's Noah, there's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. There's David. David, as he was waiting on the day that he would be able to escape this place and forever be in the presence of God, we find that the very one that he described in Psalms 22 is the one that came and rescued him and took him out of that place and led him into that great place of eternal glory. He described him. He talked about him. He let him see some things. I'm satisfied at the time that David was going through all of this. He didn't understand it. He didn't know why. He couldn't grasp what was to come. He knew the Messiah would one day come. He believed and followed that thought and that hope. But he had no idea of the suffering that he would go through. He didn't understand that he was going to have to die nailed to a cross. He didn't even know what that was. But he described it. Why? Because God was letting him see some things. And I believe God was allowing David to see that even though he's going through some very hard times in his life, that God has made a way of escape. Now, as you and I sit here this morning, as it's been preached so wonderfully through the revival meeting, burdened down. We stay burdened. I know we do. And through the revival meeting that we had, those burdens became lighter. We were able to rejoice. Why? Because we had cast upon Him our burden. Now, that didn't take away our responsibility to continue to bear that burden. But when we cast that upon Him, we know the Bible said that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Why? Because He is helping to bear and carry that burden. But we have that tendency, as Brother Steve so wonderfully told us, we have the tendency to go and pick up that burden again and try to bear it on our own. We have the tendency, it's in our nature, to go and try to go back under the same load that we had. The children of Israel did the very same thing. And when you read through the New Testament, Paul dealt with it church after church after church. So many that had been lightened of the burden of the law and had been saved by the grace of God after a period of time, they tried to begin to adopt again that same burden of the law and tried to carry portions of the law with them when they didn't have to. You and I don't have to carry that burden alone. And God was allowing David to see that everything was going to be okay. Even though he may have felt at that time like he was going to be destroyed, God was letting him know there is a Savior that is on His way that will preserve the soul, and it will not, cannot, shall not be destroyed. He lets us sometimes in our darkest moments. He lets us get a glimpse into what is to come, what is waiting on us. Why? He's letting us see just a little bit as to what is out there, that He would encourage us to continue on for His glory. Last Tuesday night, as we rejoiced in our salvation and just thinking about what God has done for us and how that He birthed us into His family and forgave us of our sin, He let us get just a tiny, tiny, tiny little glimpse into the rejoicing that one day you and I will take part in when we stand around that great throne. It was a little encouragement. It was a little window into what is to come. God allowed David to have a window, even though he didn't understand it. But God let him have a window into seeing that salvation in its true form was on the way. Even though David has failed God many times, even though David has went directly against the will of God many times, we find that even in the midst of all of that and through the midst of the troubles that he was bearing, God let him see Jesus. He let him see Him that is to come. He let him see the One that taketh away the sins of the world. Sometimes in our darkest moments, It's when we can get a clear picture of Him. It's when we can get a good picture of who He is. He's let us see just a little bit of what He can do. He's let us experience just a little bit of the joy that He desires to give. He's let us see just a little bit of the great things that are to come. We've got a reason this morning to rejoice. But you and I have something this morning that David didn't have. We have a risen Savior. His Savior had not yet come. And when He died and they buried Him with the faith that Jesus Christ was to come. He was buried with the thought and with the faith and with the hope that one day there would come a resurrection through the Messiah. You and I this morning have that book. We have an account of the life of Christ. We have what David did not have. We have an assurance that not only did He come, but He is coming again. We've got something that He didn't have. We have a little clearer understanding of the Scripture. We have a little better way of knowing what that Scripture is talking about. So you and I this morning, we have a hope that a lot of the Old Testament saints didn't understand. We have a clear picture of Christ. And this morning we have a Savior on whom we can cast our burden and know that He will help bear that burden. He will make it tolerable for you and I to be able to carry it. Jesus died. He suffered these things that David talked about. He went through every bit of that so that you and I would have Him to depend on, that you and I would have Him to call upon, that you and I would trust in Him with our very soul. He gave everything that He had. And hundreds of years before He died, He allowed Jesus, and I don't know how many greats to put on it, great, 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 etc., etc., grandfather seed, that He had a descendant that was coming that would fulfill the will of God. I'm grateful this morning. I'm grateful this morning for my salvation. I'm grateful for what Christ did for us and the suffering that He went through. We can, and I've said this before, we can kind of get an idea of some of the physical sufferings that He went through. But we'll never understand the mental sufferings that He went through. We'll never understand the torture that He went through mentally as He was hanging on that cross. We'll never understand the spiritual torments that He was going through that the devil and all the demons of hell was putting upon Him. We'll never understand that. But we can understand this. He did it for you. He did it for me. I'm grateful to have a Savior this morning that loves me. Like for every head to be bowed for just a minute, every eye closed. I've just been here this morning to try to remind us again that we have a wonderful Savior. Just trying to remind us again that we have one that we can depend on no matter what. Just to remind us again that Jesus died for your sin and gave Himself a sacrifice and a substitute for you. Just to remind us one more time that He's not going to leave us in the condition we're in. And He's not going to leave us in that condition by ourselves, but He's going to be there with us through all. He was with the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. He didn't leave them there alone. And He's not going to leave us alone. I really don't know how to try and give an altar call this morning, but I'm just going to say this. Christian, if you're here this morning and there's a need in your heart, a pull on your soul to get in this altar and pray for whatever the need may be, this altar's open. Do you need to come? Just come on. Is there one? My Father, as we bow again this morning, I do thank You for the privilege and the opportunity to pray again. I thank You, Lord, that You've blessed us and allowed us to be able to be in Your house. My, what an honor, God, it is to be able to stand here and open this precious book. And God, to be able to tell these people about my Savior. Lord, Father, to be standing here to represent Him. God, I don't deserve this opportunity. I'm not worthy. Lord, Father, I'm not deserving. But Heavenly Father, I've been given a great privilege to be a representative of Christ. And God, I pray that I've represented Him well this morning. Father, I pray that You'd take this message and God, that You'd put it in the hearts of those that are here. God, that it may be a reminder to us in the days that are to come when those dark times may come upon us. And God, when the trials may seem too great for us to bear, God, that we know that Christ has already borne them for us, that He's already carried them in our place. Thank You for what You've done. And Heavenly Father, I just want to praise You already for what You're going to do. Thank You, Lord, for all. Thank You, Lord, for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.